Well, good morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's my privilege to open the Word today. And every time I have the opportunity. And yesterday my wife and I were at Or HaOlam congregation preaching. So I get to preach 2 days in a row. And I had a wonderful time with the Messianic Jewish congregation that's near here. And but I brought a different message. Today is a message uniquely for us. We've been studying together for the last several weeks a series of messages that various of the elders and pastors have been handling. Our first message, they were about messages about body life. We're a body in many ways. We're a body of people. We're a congregational body. We are part of the living body of Jesus Christ in particular. There's this universal body. In particular, we are an expression of the body of Christ. Amen? So we've been talking about body life. The first message, we talked about the body of Christ, the body of Christ who is the head. Christ is the head of the body. And we focused that the very heart spring of everything we had to say was the headship of Jesus Christ, ascended, seated at the right hand of God the Father, who poured out His Spirit upon all flesh and birthed the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the cross. And that the very secret, essential secret of the Bible, one of them, it is the headship of Christ over His body. And then the second message was about principles of body life, where Pastor Dan spoke about the fact in 1 Corinthians 12 that in the body there are many different kinds of members. There are seeing members and hearing members and speaking members. There are hands in the body. There are feet in the body. There are legs in the body. There are different organs in the body. Not literally, but metaphorically, representative. We're all different. We're all unique. We're all special and significant, and that every part of the body must work together, and that no part of the body is to diminish another part of the body. And no part of the body is to be magnified above any other part of the body. We're all essential. I know that Linda Kozarich, where's Linda? I don't see her right now. She is probably getting ready for some a little bit later. Well, she recently had, was it a knee operation? Replaced knee? Hip? Her hip was replaced. And that functioning part of her body was diminishing. And now she's had a replacement and she's coming back to normal. We need all the functional parts of our body. And then the third message, which Pastor Rick brought, was from Romans 12 about body life motivations. How there are different motivations in the body. Talked about prophecy and declaring truth and teaching and serving and the gifts of, in fact, the gift of giving, the motivation of giving, and the motivation of administration and leadership and one or two others, the motivations of the body. How that in the body there are many different motivations or combinations thereof. And obviously myself, I have a strong teaching motivation, and there are different motivations that people have in the body, and as every one of us in the body have to listen to our heart and see how God has programmed us, what kind of spiritual DNA has He put into us, as well as natural makeup that He has designed us to be in the body and to be motivated in the service of the Lord. I know that I've lived for 50 years with a woman who's motivated by the gift of serving. and the gift of giving. I wasn't a very good giving person. I was kind of a hoarding person. And yet, through 50 years, I've learned the grace of giving better, but I never can quite equal her motivation and capacity. She loves to give, and she loves to serve. And those are her motivational gifts. And different ones have different motivational gifts. And then the fourth week, we studied deaconing participation from Acts chapter 6, where there was a need in the body, and there were widows in the body who were being neglected. It looked like the Jewish widows were being taken care of, but the Greek widows were being neglected. A little bit of a breakdown in the body. And so the apostles called together the people and said, choose you seven men of honest report, of reputation, filled with the Holy Spirit, who may give this ministry for them to oversee. And they were given that ministry. And from that we draw the principle that through time, there are times when there's a particular need. So maybe there's a need in the area of children's ministry. Maybe there's a need in the area of youth ministry. Maybe there's a need in the area of grounds. Maybe there's a need in the area of financial administration or sound system administration or worship leading or the flock group leaders, or there's a need in the area of youth and who will minister to the youth in particular. And in identifying these needed areas, then people come into deaconing in the sense of ministering, in the sense of serving. And we talked about how that's an essential part of the body of Christ. I'm thinking of the Vacation Bible School outreach in the summer, an awesome outreach time. Well, there's a team that comes together, and they're deaconing, and they meet that special need. And so it goes on and on. And then the next week, we had a message about body life worship. And Pastor Dan spoke about the fact that in the body life worship, that there's an outer court worship. People would come from their homes in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. They would come from their homes and enter through the gate into the outer court worship at the brazen altar, giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And then the priest would go on into the holy place, the second stage, called the holy place, which is the place of praise and emphasis upon Jesus Christ, the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense, which when burned gave forth a sweet smelling savor in place of the bad smell out in the outer court where the animals were sacrificed. And then once a year the high priest would go through the veil into the Holy of Holies, the third department, and go into the third aspect called the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would offer a sacrifice before the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was the manna. Representative manna was the Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments, symbolic of the Lord's leading. And then above the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim, and there the presence of the Lord would reveal himself through what's called the Shekinah glory, and the priest would come into the most holy place to worship the Lord. And we know that when Jesus died on the cross, that in those 3 hours, as he said, it is finished, that in the veil of the temple in Jerusalem, the veil, which was probably 10 inches thick, split right down through the middle, and meant that the veil was removed. And in the new covenant, we're not limited to a high priest going into the Holy of Holies. It'd be like saying, Pastor Dan, you go into the Holy of Holies for all of us once a year. But in the New Testament, we're all priests. In the New Covenant, all of us can go through the veil, right into the presence of God. And so that's body life. And our congregation, for these several many decades, we have honored the Lord by seeking to express body life worship, the worship of the body. It's not a matter of performance up front. It's not a matter of the worship team performing. It's not a matter of a soloist. It's not a matter of clergy. But it's, we're all a part of the body. It's the body that manifests and comes into worship. And we see this week after week that we have praise in the altar. We have thanksgiving. We come into a focus on Jesus Christ. We're just focusing on Him. There comes the word that's spoken spontaneously. Prophetic reading of the word. It's not planned by anybody except by the Holy Spirit. As people speak out and the word comes and emphasis upon Jesus Christ and the Father God speaking to us. And very many times we feel like we go through the veil of our flesh. It's the veil of our flesh that keeps us from going through into that holy place. And we ought and should never fear the presence of the Lord, but press in, because an open heart and an open heaven causes God's very presence to come into our soul and transform us. Now, my assigned task today is to talk about the gifts of the Spirit in body life worship. And I enjoy this subject. It's a little difficult to handle, but I believe it's important for us to think about what's involved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the body life worship of the congregation. And I'd like to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles or your iPhones, and read with me at verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. That's talking about before they were Christians, they had been involved in idolatry and perhaps led by demonic spirits. Verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Notice each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing them to each one individually as He wills. Now, in the body life of the congregation, and we've walked in this particular philosophy of body life worship now for over 35 years and continue to walk in the reality of that. 35 years ago, we didn't have much experience. We had a learning curve. But the Lord faithfully led us, and we learned to grow in these things. And over time, different people have come and gone in the congregation, moved out of the area or whatever the case may be. And some of you are new, and many of you have been with us for quite a while. But we need to remind ourselves that the nature of our worship as a body is body life worship. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in view, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in this particular passage, he's saying to the Corinthians, you are enriched in everything, in utterances, in knowledge, in testimony. Lee, that was wonderful testimony today. That's the first time Lee's ever come up here, so that was quite a step of faith on his part. And I just think it's the first fruits, Lee. And you have come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about these things, coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I also want to direct your attention for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with all the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's another gifting. And though I give my body to be burned, that's the gift of persecution, but have nothing, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And he goes on to talk about love. Wonderful things about the character of love. All manifestations in the Spirit must be done in the Spirit of love. Empowered by love, exhibiting love, manifesting the love of Christ. And when he comes down to verse number 13, he said, Now abides faith, hope, love, all three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, I skipped over a verse, number 31 of chapter 12, and I should not have. And it says, verse chapter 12, 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Say best gifts. And yet I show you a more perfect and more excellent way. And the nature of earnestly desire the best gifts, and I show you a more excellent way, points the way to chapter 13 about love. Now, it's interesting. The Greek word for earnestly desire comes from our word for zelote, zeal. Have a zeal for the spiritual gifts. Meaning a warmth of feeling for them. You're excited about it. You're warm toward it. You're not cold toward it. The Bible says that we ought to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. And we're zealous for the spiritual gifts of God. Dennis, but it does say, desire the best gifts. The gifts with a greater degree of effectiveness. And that's a principle that we want to honor in our public worship. And then it says, a more excellent way. It means a way of preeminence, an exceedingly better way, a road, a route, a mode, a more excellent way. And then when you come down to chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritualities, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, there's no character or chapter divisions in the original Greek. Someone imposed them a lot later for the convenience of finding passages in scriptures and tried to break them down in logical thought patterns. But everything is continuous in the Greek. And therefore, he says, the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and desire spiritualities. So the superior nature of love. Love must be the atmosphere for all expressions of the gifts. Now, when we come back to chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2, I want to talk about the operational aspects of the gifts. Now, when it talks about the gifts in the Bible, when it uses the Greek word daria for gift, like in Acts 2, the gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out, it's the Greek word daria. But when you come to Ephesians chapter 4, and when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it uses the Greek word charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. And the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit is not the same thing as the charismata gifts, which is shortened in our time and age to the word charismatic. The charismatic gifts, the charismata gifts, the gifts of grace by the Holy Spirit. And what I see in all of that is God has gifted all of us. Like in 1 Timothy 4, Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift of the Holy Spirit, meaning the charismata that is in you through the laying on of hands. And then in 2 Timothy 1, Paul writes him and says, stir up the gift, the charismata of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as each one has received the gift, charismata, as each one, say each one, say each me, each one of us, each one of myself, each one of us have received charismatic grace. And it says, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as a messenger of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. Amen? Now, as we continue to pursue this, I don't want to get too deep, but I want to point out some things from 1 Corinthians 12 in the beginning that are important in body life. For instance, he said, now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, you notice that in the translation, the word gifts is italicized. The word gifts is not in the original. It's the word pneumonica, which means spiritualities. And now consider spiritualities, things of the Spirit, spiritualities. And he does not want them to be ignorant about them. Now, in many congregations, the worship service is very rote, you know. The same every week, very rote, very ritualistic, very same. But in spirit-filled congregations that have multiplied all across the country into the thousands, there are a spontaneity of spiritual life, a spontaneity within the body, not chaos or disorder, but orderly spontaneity. And as the Holy Spirit leads, we invite and release the members of the body to speak out, to pray, to speak out, to prophesy, to give testimony, and so forth. I want to talk about that nature of body life. Now, there are five key words. The first one is spirituality. The second key word here in chapter 12 is diversities. It says, now, brethren, there are diversities. There are differences. There are diversities. Now, we spoke about that earlier, that there are diversities of gifts in the body. Therefore, you may not have the same gift as other people have, but if other people have a certain gift, you don't despise it. Like 1 Thessalonians says, don't despise prophesying, but there are various gifts. Some have the gifts of serving. Some have the gifts of speaking forth. Some have, as Peter said, utterance, verbal, vocal. Some have gifts of serving. Does that help you? You see, you don't have to try to be like somebody else or expect that everybody's going to be in a certain way or mold or dimension. But on the other hand, we appreciate whatever dimension or mold God gives to each person, and we seek to acknowledge and protect that expression and to appreciate it in the body of Christ. Amen? Now, that's the word diversity. Diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries, diversity of activities. And then thirdly, he speaks about manifestations in verse number 7. But the manifestations of the Spirit. And so the Greek word is phanerosis, which means exhibition, the expression, the manifestation, something happening in the body. And we want, there are Christ-honoring manifestations. Any manifestation we teach that brings glory to me is a soulish manifestation, probably. But a manifestation that brings glory to the Lord is a spiritual manifestation. It's all about the Lord. One time we had a person who, when they prophesied, you think they were one end of the football field yelling to the other end of the football field. It was very loud, and they try to counsel the person. They thought if you're filled with the Spirit, you have to be loud as you can possibly be. And frankly, it shattered most of our senses of sensibility in our mind. But we always say that the manifestation by the Holy Spirit is in normal conversational voice. You don't have to yell. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be extreme. You don't have to be hyper. That's not being led by the Spirit. Probably it's more like you're being led by your flesh or by your soul and not by the Spirit. So we don't want to diminish manifestation, but we teach ourselves and cultivate within ourselves the fact that when the Holy Spirit speaks in a body, it's within normal tones or maybe a little elevation for emphatic purposes. You speak out, but it's not extreme. And of course, on the other hand, it shouldn't be so low that nobody can hear you. You got to speak loud enough so you can be heard. And so there are manifestations. The fourth word, spirituality, diversities, manifestations. The fourth word is the word distributions, distributing, in verse number 11. That one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Distributing. The way this works is the Holy Spirit kind of distributes around different manifestations from time to time. I think that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and He prompts us, and He distributes different gifts to the people. So even all the gifts mentioned here are distributed among the body. And that's why it says in chapter 12, He said, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? No, but not all these things. Do all have time? You see, these things are not necessarily everybody on everything. He distributes them as He wills. And so there's a little bit of a mystery to it. And you might say, well, I want that gift. You can't have it unless the Lord gives it to you. You know, you can open your heart and pray for it, and then maybe He'll give it to you. You know, you can make your desire known to the Lord. You can learn to move in a lot of this. But He distributes them. Now, someone thinks, well, He distributes this person. Well, I'm a prophet, or I'm prophetess, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a person of knowledge, or whatever. I don't think that He distributes on the basis of who you are. Like, you own one gift, and the next person owns one gift, and the next person owns a gift different. I don't think it's He distributes them that you own a gift. I think that really caters to pride and caters to a sense of making you the issue. I think it's that in the worship, He's distributing the gifts as He sees fit that day. And so maybe one person will have faith to pray for healing this Sunday, and next Sunday there might be someone else who has a gift of praying for healing. I see people all the time who are going to people after the service, and can I pray for you? You know, you mentioned you're struggling with illness or that. Let me pray for you. They've got a gift of healing operating in them at that moment as they pray for healing. And so there are various kinds of gifting that's distributed by the Holy Spirit. One Sunday, God may give a prophetic gift of Scripture to this person, but another Sunday to this person, another week to this person, another week to this person, and there's a variety. And then finally, there's a difference in the gifts. He said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something else here about three major categories. I don't want to get caught up deeply in this, but in verse 4, 5, and 6, one each verse, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are diversities of ministries, differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And verse 6, there are diversities of activities, or it's actually the word energema, which means diversities of energies, but the same God who works all in all. Now, we personally have come to understand that when it says diversities of gifts, it's probably talking about the gifts here in 1 Corinthians 12. The second thing, when it talks about diversities of ministries, it's probably talking about the Ephesians or the Romans 12 motivations for different kinds of ministries. But when it talks about the diversities of activities, the same God who works is probably talking about the gifts in Ephesians 4, because it says God gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip the saints to the work, energema, the same word that's used here, the work of the ministry. And to do the ministry in that sense takes the energy of the Holy Spirit. You can't do that kind of work in your own strength. If you do, it won't have the impact that God would have it to be. And so there are different ways of looking at things. Now today, we're just focusing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, verse number 4. So let's just kind of talk a little bit about the manifestation of the Spirit in verse number 8 and 9 and 10. First of all, there's what I call the discernment gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. That God sometimes will give a word of wisdom to someone. And when they speak out in the course of the worship, you can feel wisdom coming through. It may or may not be a scripture verse. I hear the Lord saying today that He's calling us to lay a solid foundation in our finances because we are in difficult days. And it would be wise for you to get out of debt and to begin to save and take stewardship of your life. Well, that's wisdom. That kind of word would come, and we invite those kinds of encouraging words that are words of wisdom. Or the Lord would say, it's wise for you to walk in righteousness rather than give liberty to your flesh. To walk in righteousness. And that is the way of wisdom for life. So those kinds of words would be words of wisdom. It might be in a counseling situation. Well, let me share some what I think might be wisdom for you. That would be a gifting in a counseling situation or a small home group. The second word here is words of knowledge. Now, the supernatural imparting of facts is when the Lord puts something in your heart and you know that it's a word of knowledge about the person. Or it can be a person is handling a situation and God puts a verse in your mind that is a word of knowledge for them based on the word. But knowing and knowledge is presented. And I think there are times when the Lord might say to us in the body, one of you say, well, the Lord is speaking to me that we need to know what it means to walk in the truth. And speaking about a knowledge, or sometimes it happens to me, I would discern, the Lord has revealed to me that you are struggling in your life in a certain way. I might even be a little bit more precise than that. And He gives you a word of knowledge. And when you speak it to the person, they say, how did you know? I didn't know. The Lord just showed me that you may be facing this. That's sometimes called a word of knowledge. There's been times when there's word of knowledge when someone said, speak up and say, I feel the Lord is saying to me that there's someone here who has a very serious backache, and He would urge you to get prayer and trust the Lord concerning that matter. Now, I feel there needs to be cautiousness and carefulness about calling things out like that. But at the same time, words of knowledge do come. And God has used them. And He's used them through me at different times. And through others that I know. And then the discerning of spirits. He's saying in verse 10, the discerning of spirits. Now the discerning of spirit is a power whereby you discern whether something is of God or something is of man or something is of the enemy. You discern whether something is of the spirit, or it's of the soul, or of the flesh. It's a discernment. I've also come to realize in almost four decades of walking in life in the spirit, that what some people call discerning the spirits is really the spirit of criticism. They got a critical spirit, and they think of discerning the spirits, but they're really manifesting a critical spirit. We have to be very, very careful. It's discerning for the sake of bringing edification, not a spirit that tears someone down. We always speak to build someone up, not tear them down. Now, there's a second category of gifts called the demonstration gifts, or deeds in the realm of the gifts of power. One of these is faith. I believe faith is when God moves you in a faith impulse that you're ready to believe in a special way. It may come through with a vision that you may state in a declaratory sentence, and faith is raised for people. It might be faith to pray for someone. It might be faith that exhibits itself in such a way that God assigned you to lead a mission, and to that mission, like for instance, Brother Parr, God's given him faith to work with the ground crew, faith to call into being to make it happen, or it might be faith in some other area that God's asking you to give leadership, because faith is a leadership gift. Leadership is basically exhibited through the ability to give a faith vision that people will follow. Now, faithfulness is a followership trait. But faith, the ability to see things and to move toward them, is a leadership gift. And therefore, God may sometimes give someone a faith to believe for certain things to happen. We see that happen around here. A person gets a faith for this or faith for that, and it edifies the body. And then the second thing is the gifts of healing. Now, a divine moment in which God grants the gift of healing or restorative powers to bring about physical or psychological or spiritual healing and health is in response to the Holy Spirit. And there are times in body life where it becomes obvious, and one of the elders or pastors will say that this person has expressed a need. Come, let's pray and lay hands on this person for healing. And in that moment, the gifts of healing are operating in our heart, because we are praying by faith to bring healing in that person's life. And you might notice those gifts of healings. Not the gift of healing, like I got the healing power. No. Every time we pray in the gift, it's a separate healing. Another healing. Gifts of healing. Healings. There are many examples of healings. And all these gifts are available to every one of us. And so you might say, well, I don't have faith to pray for healing. And I remember when I was young in the whole life in the spirit, I was already a pastor, but I remember when I was a young pastor up in Albany, New York, one day at the door, someone said, Pastor, if you ever want someone to go with you to anoint a sick person with oil and to pray for them, let me know. I'd be glad to go with you. I went cold. I paralyzed, because in those days I didn't believe in anointing with oil. We never did it. Didn't believe in healing, any of these things. But then I remember when we came to this church one day, a sick person asked the elders to come. And so this is 5 years ago, and we still weren't very experienced in it. And so here I'm leading us in praying for a sick person with healing from James, the anointing of oil for healing. I remember when we got there, I and 3 or 4 elders, none of us have ever done this before. And so I just took out the Bible and read it. It says we're to pray, confess our sins. So right now, each of us confess our sins. And we confessed our sins. And then it says that that we got to believe in faith. Okay, let's ask God for faith. You know, And then it says, anoint the person with oil. I said, okay, here's the oil. Let's anoint the, in Jesus' name. And then let's lay hands on and pray for the person. That's all we knew to do. And you know what? The person got healed. The thing is that if we take the Word of God by faith and operate in it, that healing can take place. And so you say, well, I don't have faith for the gift of healing. Well, that's where you have to realize it's not your faith. Paul said, the faith that I live by is not my own faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
It's Jesus' faith in you that you minister. So you come across a relative and they're really hurting, and you don't make a big deal about it, but when it's kind of quiet, you think, can I lay hands on you and pray for you? And then you pray in faith for them. And you can pray in faith. And when you pray in faith, you see God begin to operate. Now, I've been pastoring for 55 years, so I've had a whole several decades of experience. Well, when I went to the hospital and visit someone, I wasn't really good at hospital visits. But I would go, and when I felt I had put in enough time, I say, let us pray, because to pray would be my signal I can leave. I know that sounds awful gross. I wasn't filled with the Spirit back in those days. I just was a perfunctory pastor. But then, one time, I was with someone after I got filled with the Spirit, and very early in the visit, I said, you know, I just feel like we should pray. So I began to pray, and as I laid on hands and prayed, a strange thing happened. That person opened up the heart and just poured out everything within them. And real ministry took place. I wasn't doing perfunctory prayer to get out of the hospital visitation to go home. Ministry took place. And from that time on, I began to see I can pray for someone and that'll open up their heart. And I found when you say to people as believers, you know, I know you're struggling, but I'm a person of faith and prayer, and I believe that God can could I pray for you, brother, sister Sue, sister Mary, brother Joe, brother David, you know, could I pray for you? And you have the authority as a believer priest to pray for them, and in the body, to come up to one another, to pray one for another, to care one for another, means a whole lot to people because you're praying for healing. And then there's the gift of miracles, the direct intervention of divine power. Now, you can't make a miracle happen, but you can be the channel through laying out of hands to ask God to do a miracle. Now, he sometimes does the miracle on the spot. Sometimes he does the miracle in the process as they leave and walk in faith. I believe that you cannot move in the gift of miracles unless you believe that God's a miracle-working God. He's a supernatural God. He will touch people. And I believe for this gift to be operative, God has to be operative in your life. You have to be open to a miracle-producing God. And as you pray, things happen. And later someone comes back and says, no, a real miracle took place. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is how it unfolded. And you as a believer and in the can pray like that. And we as believers in the body can pray one for another for the gifts of miracle. Amen?
Amen.
I see that Linda Kozarich is here. I was talking about the body, that the body has to remember every member of the body. When your hip gets hurt, it affects your whole body, right? And now she's getting back healthy. Now, the third thing is what I call the declaration gifts. The first were the discernment gifts, wisdom, knowledge, spirits, demonstration gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. And now the declaration gifts. And the declaration are gifts of verbal utterance, prophetic utterance, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. But primarily, prophecy. Look at chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritualities, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophesying is a primary spiritual gift in the context of the body. Now, when we think about prophecy, when you study chapter 14, you're going back and forth between what is the issue of tongues and spiritual language versus prophecy. I'm just focusing now today on prophecy. It says here, covet to prophesy. In fact, when you go to chapter 14 and verse number 20, it said, when you come together, if all prophesy, verse 24, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now, if I'm going to refer to Lee, who did the Lord's table today, if I could. Lee, when he came to our church, was coming out of some devastating years in his life. And he and his wife decided to go to church, see if that would help him. When they came up, they were supposed to go to the church across the road. But somehow they made the wrong turn and came here. And the minute they walked in, they said, we knew that morning that we had arrived there because the Spirit of God was among you. All that took place, we could see the centrality of Jesus Christ. And from that time, is that almost 6 years ago? From that time on, they have been growing and developing, renewing, strengthening in their life because they were in a fellowship where they could bear witness, surely God is among you. And I think that's very, very important that God is among you. It's not about how nice, elaborate the service is, choirs and musicians and demonstration and eloquence of speaking. It's not about, Tim was in a large church, he and Deborah, for up in the New England states for several years. And he was the youth pastor of about 150 teenagers full time. He's an engineer, which he's doing today. And they've built on finesse and human capacity. And you see what a wonderful worship leader, but he would never be good enough in that church to be a worship leader. In fact, he wanted to have the teenagers and the band he put together to lead in the larger church. They never would let them do it because they didn't measure up to their external image of what had to be. Are you with me? Things can get all out of whack. 4 times a year, the children lead our service, and they are beautiful services. They up here, they're leading, and it just as precious and glorious and wonderful, the Holy Spirit leading, as when the adults do it. And so I'm saying that when you come together, these gifts are manifested. And so I don't want to go any longer. I think I've said enough today. But one key thing in conclusion, all through 4 or 5 times in the book of 1 Corinthians, just said, let everything be done for edification. That means to build up the edifice, edification, the edifice of the soul of one another. That all prophesying build up. It said 3 reasons for prophesying: to build up edification, to encourage, exhort, and to bring comfort, which is the Greek word paramathia, which means to put salve upon wounds. Our prophesying, our prophetic utterances, our speaking forth. I encourage all of them, men and women, led by the Holy Spirit, giving honor and glory to the Lord, to speak forth by faith. So let them prophesy by faith. You know why our services are never boring? Because we never know what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit leads. It's exciting. So-and-so said this and that, and the theme of the morning unfolds. It's not planned out ahead of time. Because the Holy Spirit is allowed to give freedom. You know, you would say, well, I don't know, I understand all of that. Well, I don't understand it all either, but I know it's wonderful. Because the saints are participating in the body life and speaking forth. I miss Felicia, who's back home in Togo, you know, when she speaks out. We're called the Church of the Accents. And when she speaks out, but you know, you can sense her precious spirit, this elderly lady who had to do asylum in America when her husband running for president was killed, and she came to America. And you know, the fact is that in the life of the believers is the life of Christ. And in that spontaneity, you say, oh, I could never speak out. Well, just be sure you don't quench the Spirit. It says you prophesy by faith. Maybe you're supposed to read 4 or 5 verses of Scripture. Maybe just 1 verse. But speak out. Feel free to do that. And in that way, we're edified. We're built up together in the body. Amen? I hope this is helpful today. Let's stand together. I don't know where the time went. Amen. Father, we thank you that we are a body of people walking together. I pray, Lord, that you will allow us to know that you are the head of the body, but we are members in particular. I thank you, Lord, from week to week that the saints, different ones, are expressing this way or expressing that because we see Jesus Christ coming through them. I thank you for the Lord's table and for all the people who have shared at the Lord's table that is not a clergy function, but it's the function of the body, of the members, of members of the body sharing. I thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ can be lifted up. And I pray, Lord, week by week that you would take us to the outer court of thanksgiving, into the holy place of praise, into the veil, into the very presence of the Holy Spirit, by which you speak to us through prophetic words. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.